completely and totally.
We'll be right back.
Kuuska. Great little Japanese band, the Blue Beat Players. Good stuff today. Got a bit of a theme show today. And we got a guest here, Chris Fuzzcat Box. Fuzzy Wuzzy was a Chris.
Yes.
You want to just do a little, what are you all about here?
I've been involved in this, the Vancouver ska scene. I was in a band called Fuzzcat, and we put on lots of shows.
Hold on a second. I think you got to talk louder than the mic.
Sorry, how's that?
No, I got nothing happening
got
here.
Got nothing.
We're that's dead. Weird. Try again. Try this mic.
Check, check.
Oh, that's way better.
Giggity, giggity.
Yeah.
All right.
That was my fault there.
Yeah,
Chris,
no worries.
Fuzzcat, that's okay. You didn't say anything exciting at all, so we'll start over.
Yes.
What's been going on?
Not much. I've just been sort of involved in the ska scene and just music scene in general, and have been lucky enough to meet, obviously, people that start to spread a sort of international. I mean, you get the local guys, Furios, who are touring Mexico and doing great stuff and collaborations, and had the opportunity myself to meet up with some people in Tokyo, and it was amazing, and the scene over there is amazing. And on the anniversary of this giant earthquake that they had last year, these guys in Japan have put together one of the coolest projects, truly inspirational. And I want to kind of make this a theme as well, that this should be a call out to all ska punk bands around the world. Like, you know, we talk about unity. This is unity.
This is when something like this happens, it's like, okay, everyone's got to just stop and, like, let's put up or shut up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's an amazing thing that's still going. I mean, right now, the Japanese government is just admitting, you know, starting to admit the steps they took for the nuclear fallout, and all this sort of stuff definitely wasn't handled the way it said it was. So it's just, you know, it's still incredibly relevant, even though it was a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's quite a sad situation.
And then, yeah, a few weeks ago, you sort of said you were talking to this guy, Ray.
Oh, yeah. So that's, Ray Mastro Giovanni. Most Japanese name ever. No, he's amazing. He's originally from Eugene, Oregon. But we'll be talking to him, I guess, in a little bit. But, yeah, he's amazing. He's this sort of, in my opinion, this little focal point I just got to see the ska scene through. And he's been, when I was there, he arranged this amazing jam. At one point, there were like 3 trumpets, 2 saxophones, a euphonium, trombone, bassist, and people were just freely jamming, you know, and it was amazing. Like, you know, again, language is, music is, it's unnecessary, right?
Yeah.
So it was just amazing. And I used to live in Fukushima about 10 years ago. I taught English over there. So, you know, watching Sendai Airport, for example, I had spent time there.
You've seen that video.
Yeah. And, you know, it's still some of the small towns I used to hang out in, and you see them just literally torn in half. You know, I mean, because that's the thing. People are like, you know, you can't get the severity, you know. It's like the largest earthquake in recorded history for Japan, you know. So, you know, this isn't something that it's like, wow, this is alone, you know, with something amazing. So.
And they're still getting earthquakes since
That's the thing. In Japan, if it happened anywhere else, they're getting it gets earthquakes like Vancouver gets rain.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what I mean. So it's not like this was, you know, sort of, hey, this is a terror. You know, they're ready for these sorts of things, but this was the one, you know. Damn. At one point, they did say the tsunami was twice the size of the retaining wall at the nuclear reactor.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, man.
So, you know, that just gives an idea. They just, you know, weren't ready. The company wasn't ready.
Do you think we're ready?
Let's
here
do
in
it.
Vancouver? for our big one?
Unless they've got any nuclear reactors hidden downtown, which wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. And I bet you the Japanese ska scene would be there to help us if it happened here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm telling you, these guys, it's amazing. But Ray's going to talk a little bit more about that. You know.
Yeah, I think we got him on the line here.
Okay.
Hang on a sec. Okay, I think we got him on the line there. Okay, who's there?
This is Ray Master Giovanni from Tokyo, Japan.
Hey, well, welcome to the show. Thanks for calling into the Scenic Drive. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what's going on.
I'm originally from Osaka, Japan, and Eugene, Oregon, USA. And I was in a ska band in Oregon called Pocket Phase. And after touring Japan a few times, seeing the ska, especially the ska and the punk scene here in Japan, is really good. especially at the time, 2001, 2002. And after the band broke up, I loved the scene here so much that about maybe 2005, I moved over to Tokyo with my solo, Ray Master Giovanni. And yeah, I'm an artist here in Tokyo right now and doing ska music over here.
As a solo artist?
Yeah.
And can you kind of describe the scene there? And like, well, describe what it was in 2001 and sort of what it is now?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The scene is, it's way different now. 2001, it was like the peak. There's, in Oregon, you know, and I guess, you know, California, America at the time, the, you know, ska shows weren't really selling out. And then I heard in Japan, they're, you know, packed. Shows were selling out. Pasha, Kimuri, Scaffold King, you know, 2,000 people capacity venues were selling out. And I was like, wow, that's really happening. Right now, it still happens when some of those older bands get back together for a special show, like Scaffold King, when they do a show, you know, 2,000 capacity venue, they still sell out. Wow. But, you know, some of the younger bands playing right now, they're, you know, it's not as big right now, you know, not like 2001 anymore.
Are they like smaller clubs or...
Yeah, the clubs are smaller, and once a year in May, there's a big show put on by Dalax called Hop In and Step In, and that one, you know, that's like a 2,000 capacity venue that usually sells out. So, you know, it's like you know, whenever there's a big ska festival, it does really well, and it's a good thing that there's multiple ska festival in this country, you know.
Yeah. So is it sort of younger crowds, or is it sort of people that have been in the ska scene for the last 10, 15, 20 years? Or like, who sort of comes to these shows?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I realized, like, a lot of the people, you know, they're actually people, you know, 30s, maybe mid-40s or something like that. The people that really enjoyed, grew up listening to ska and ska punk, the older people. But, you know, there are younger bands right now called... there's a band called Hey Smith. There's a band called Scalheads. You know, younger guys that are bringing in a newer audience. But you know, I'm still noticing an older crowd. So I'm, you know, hopefully, you know, the younger kids start listening to ska too.
Yeah, cool. And so you're in a band. Then it sort of broke up. But then you kept doing your solo thing, and you're still doing your solo thing, right?
Yeah. I'm doing it. I started playing shows in a trio setting, kind of like the Police, kind of. And we're called Ray Master Giovanni Trio.
Yeah.
But yeah. That just got started recently.
Cool. Kind of like a combo.
Yeah, like Chris Murray combo. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I was listening to some of the stuff earlier. It was great. We'll play some of the stuff a little bit later. You've got this huge undertaking of a fundraiser that's going on for victims of the tsunami.
Do
you want to start from the beginning of that?
Okay, yeah. And well, almost a year ago, just about exactly a year ago, March 11th, 2011, you know, a huge earthquake happened here, and, you know, there was a big tsunami, killed so many people, killed more than, you know, 15,000 people. And I'm in Tokyo, and, you know, we felt a big shock, you know, everything moved, it was a huge, long earthquake. I was doing taxes at a, you know, tax building at the time. I didn't really realize it didn't shake that much there. But, you know, when I went home and turned on the TV, you know, everything was basically underwater over in the northern region of Japan. And, you know, it was shocking.
Were you seeing this happen in Tokyo? Like, was the news, like, right on it? Like,
I'm not sure, because everybody was stranded, because all the trains stopped. Yeah. So everybody had to walk, you know, I walked maybe 3-4 hours to get home. So I don't know how quick it was, but, you know, when I turned on the TV, you know, 3-4 hours later, everything, you know, it was, the news was on it.
Chaos.
Yeah, chaotic. And it was like, you know, it was like the movies, you know, and it was kind of like, yeah, you just don't see that in reality. So it was hard to really, you know, feel it. Yeah.
Wow. So, moving on, this terrible thing happened, and lots of people are homeless, missing family members. What is the ska community doing?
Well, in yeah, right after the, you know, the disaster, nobody, the basic vibe was, you know, it was like we everybody felt kind of powerless because, you know, people did had these skills and people had these things that they could do, but people weren't really acting on it. Like, some people were, but most people weren't. And everyone was wondering, what can I do, you know? And me and Kenji from Scaffold King, we started talking, and we, you know, we both loved We Are the World, you know, yes. USA for Africa, and, you know, we kind of grew up, you know, watching that, and we watch it still, and we just immediately thought, you know, why can't the ska community do that? And, you know, we didn't know how much money we could raise. We didn't know how big the ska community was, really. But, you know, it was better than not doing anything. And it was the first thing that, you know, that we could do immediately. So we just wrote a song and, you know, made an acoustic demo of it. Me and another guy named Riku, we wrote the song. And Kenji and a few other guys wrote the lyrics. I translated it and got the song, sent the songs out to all the ska guys in Japan. And eventually Angela Moore from Fishbone and Mike Park as well.
Oh, wow,
and,
awesome.
Yeah, got them involved. And yeah, and we just did it. We just recorded it. The recording studio did everything for free. Yeah, and the cameraman, the music video, everybody volunteered. So, you know, so everybody had this one thing, one or two things that they were skilled at. And we asked them to do that thing that they're skilled at in yep. order to, you know, to do this charity project, Punk Ska Unity.
Amazing. So you get it all together. Everyone gets it done. What's next?
What's next right now?
You release it? No, sorry. I'm still on to this song. You release
okay,
it?
Okay.
What are people in Japan thinking? Do they love it? Do they hate it? Do they care? Does it make the money? Does it make some money? What happens?
Oh, wow. Yeah, we released it actually in Japan only. Rather than doing like iTunes kind of thing, we figured people wouldn't really buy it if it's just a download.
Yeah.
So, you know, people are still buying CDs here in Japan. And I guess they say it's one of the few countries that still buy CDs.
Yeah.
And we actually pressed the CDs. We made about 1,000 at first. And we made these buttons, like, you know, badges, buttons,
yeah.
you say. And we packaged it ourselves. Me and maybe 10 other people, volunteers, we volunteered. We all, you know, packaged so that we could... maximize the amount of money that we can donate.
Yeah.
And we made about 1,000 in the beginning, and people bought those right away, and you know, they kept selling and selling and selling. I didn't talk about where the money was going. In Japan, we actually it was really good because there were people, SBC, they're like a PA company. They mix sounds for all the ska and punk legends here in Japan. And they're building like live venues in the areas that were destroyed. And they're building 3 venues up there so that a lot of bands can go up there and deliver music, deliver energy to the people up there. There's really no venues up, you know, in the northern East Japan.
Yeah.
You know, it was all destroyed. And so all the money that was made in Japan, you know, from the CD sales are going to that. And afterwards, we made it so that, you know, other people need money too, such as, you know, the orphans here in Japan, you know, the kids that lost their parents from the tsunami and the earthquake. So, you know, the worldwide money, profits, are all going to go to that.
Well, and so are these venues up now?
No, they're still building
built?
It. Yeah, it's going to take a long time to build it, but, you know,
yeah.
we were receiving, like, partial images, you know, like, they're like, this is how it's going right now, this is going to be the parking lot and things like that, and yeah, everybody's pretty excited about it, you know, it's like, it's not just them that's making it, it's, you know, everybody that bought the CD, everybody, you know, that donated to those guys, you know, they're all building it together,
it's
basically.
Happening. Awesome.
Yeah.
That must be just a great feeling.
Yeah, it's good.
And again,
feeling,
sorry, when did this start? What, like, how long after the disaster did this happen? When the money was coming in and like the video came out? How long is it? Like, when did it come out?
How did it happen? We started talking about it immediately, maybe April or May. We actually released it in August, if I got it right. And there's a big festival here called Air Jam. It was a legendary festival in a stadium put on by a band called High Standard. They're the punk legends here. And, you know, and those guys were booking out for a long time. And the drummer is actually playing on Punk Sky Unity. And they're broken up, and they said, you know, we need to do this huge festival that everybody's waiting for, and you know, and make the people happy, because the whole vibe in Japan was really low, you know, the energy was low, and they allowed Punk Sky Unity to sell our CD on their website. So that was awesome. Basically when we started selling the CD. So August was when it started.
Wow, cool. And do you have a number of how many actual physical CDs you sold in that time?
We don't, because we're still selling it, and we're still getting back the final numbers. But we made a lot. We made more than I don't know if I can say it. Actually, I should. It'll be posted. But we sold way more than we thought. It's amazing.
Thousands of CDs. Like
thousands of thousands. Yeah, tens of thousands.
That's
amazing.
So great.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. Cool. And then let's just play a little bit of music. And then we'll talk a bit about some more stuff in just a second.
All right.
Cool. I'm forgetting we're pretending
to be on the camera.
dare.
We're back. Some great tunes. And yeah, we're just talking with Ray and talking about the punk ska unity and the CDs made thousands and thousands. They sold thousands of CDs for this charity. And it was just released in Japan, but now it's worldwide. It's being released worldwide. And you want to tell maybe the people how they can buy this single and help out the people out there.
Yeah, yeah. The song is on sale all over the world. It's worldwide. You can get it at punkskyunity.com/English. That's the English page. It's a simple page. You can see the music video there, and there's a small documentary about, you know, what happened in Japan there too. And there's a list of all the countries that it's sold at. All the money that's made from this ska song is gonna go to help the orphans. 711 children lost, you know, a parent. 120 lost both. It's written on the website as well, you know. And there's all these kids that are left without a parent, you know, and they gotta live in this world. And there's an organization called Ashinaga. They're the organization that, you know, they've always been helping orphans, and so all the money's gonna go there. So it's basically, you know, ska music helping people out. And we didn't know if you know music can help. at these kind of times, but we realized, you know, the song itself is uplifting, and we thought the energy alone would be good enough, but, you know, it generates money as well, and you know, really physically helps those people as well. And, you know, it'd be really good if you guys, you know, from all over the world can get this song. It's on iTunes. We haven't decided on the deadline, you know, when we're going to stop selling it. I don't know if we're going to keep on selling it or
well,
not.
Well, it sounds like these kids are probably going to continually need some help for years to come. So.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so if, you know, if this song stops becoming available, because everybody's doing this as a volunteer, you know,
yeah.
There's a limit on how much we can do. But, you know, you could also go to Ashinaga directly or, you know, donate to anybody, you know, find your own way of donating to an organization. You know, you don't have to go through us. But a quick way, you know, punksskyunity.com/English, and you could go to iTunes from there. And, you know, it's just a few dollars, you know, and it goes directly to those people.
That's fantastic. I'll make sure I post it up on the Musical Occupation. .com podcast mm-hmm. site, so if people have missed it, it'll be up on there.
Great, thank you.
So great, yeah. Anything else about this project, or do you have some other projects you want to tell us about?
Well, I don't really want to talk about me personally too much, you know, but the scene in Japan, like I said earlier, it's getting better and better, and it's good, you know, people like Fishbone came a few times, I think, last year. And you know, I don't know how the scene really is around the world right now, but there are newer, not the kind of bands that are still doing the 90s, you know, style ska punk, but, you know, incorporating new things, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe rapping a little bit or, you know, adding a sampler here and there, changing it, trying to make a fourth, I don't want to say fourth wave, but you know.
Something
new,
though. Something new. Like, there's everyone's trying to maybe push another wave, but I mean, it's not going to be another wave unless there's something different about it, really.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I'm actually,
how is it, you know, from your viewpoint, I don't want to say wave, but how's the ska overall right now?
I mean, it's pretty good. It's, to me personally, I'm like, it's hard for me to find some bands that I really love. Like,
exactly.
Like,
that's what I'm listening to.
They're doing
right
something
now.
Record label. And they're doing great. And I've got this list, these newer, younger bands coming from Japan.
Oh, yeah. And they're mainly, you know, some of them are not on the label, some of them are, but, you know, they're small labels and they're all, you know, really independent and trying to really, you know, trying to go out to the world. And in the past, you know, the bands, they've been writing the lyrics themselves, the English lyrics, but most people in Japan don't even speak English.
Prefer? Is it more kind of American to hear the ska in the English, or do they prefer the Japanese language?
I thought that was interesting at first because they don't speak it, but they sing in English. I asked a lot of people they want to be able to, you know, come to America, go to UK, you know, and sing so that everybody can sing along. But at the same time, I guess singing in Japanese is so unique because the language is so. I don't know. It doesn't really go on the melody. The English lyrics, I guess, flows better in a ska song, you know. And yeah, so I guess that's why they do it. And I'm bilingual, so, you know, I help a lot of those guys out with the lyrics and stuff like that. So you know, the lyrics are getting really good. You know, you'll be able to understand them.
Yeah, I know, like Japan, like this. Ska, sort of underground ska scene, but I know in the history of a lot of the Japanese music, there's been a lot of really produced poppy, like crazy girl band ska type things, and like
crazy girl.
Well,
band
I don't
ska.
Know. Just every once in a while, I see these videos that are like really produced and really, and I think they're hilarious. But I don't know. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. There's a whole scene of girl pop ska, you know, because pop music is really big here. And then there's all the hardcore ska bands. There's ska core bands.
What was the name of that girl ska band that really young and they wear like the little ties? And I think they actually came to the States a couple times.
Oh yeah. The band that went to the Warped Tour, right?
They might have played a few dates, but I know they played like South by Southwest one year. And
okay, yeah, you're talking about Oreska band.
That's the one. Yeah, Oreska. Yeah.
They're still together. They, you know, they don't really do that much ska anymore. They're becoming more pop. But I found out I jammed with those guys, and they're really good musicians, you know. And
well, that's another thing. When you see these bands, you wonder, well, are they actually even really playing the instruments, or is this?
Yeah. When you just look at the pop aspect, yeah. You know, it's hard to tell, especially when it's really produced. But yeah, those guys are really good musicians, and so there's a whole the pop ska scene is not so strong anymore in Japan. Yeah.
Is there a big divide, sort of like?
Oh yeah. There's a huge divide, you know, because the hardcore, you know, the punk ska guys. I don't want to represent everybody, but you know, they kind of frown upon the pop. The pop, yeah. Pop guys don't really understand some of the hardcore stuff, you know, too strong. Yeah, you know, it's like a whole different scene. I didn't know it was so divided. I thought, you know, all ska was one, but yeah, it's really divided.
And then, so is the sort of the bar still like the Ska Para, the Tokyo Ska Paradise Orchestra, are they still sort of known as the sort of Japanese ska band, or have others sort of moved close to sort of like, hey, it's not just about them, there's other bands?
Oh, wow, man, Tokyo Ska Paradise Orchestra, they're on a whole nother level.
Yeah, because you were saying, like, you were mentioning some other bands earlier that I recognize, I can't remember that, is it the Oi Ska Mates or the...
Oi Ska Mates, yeah.
And then what's the other band you mentioned that they're filling the 200-person venues? Scuffle King?
Scuffle King, yeah. 2,000 people venues.
So there are some other bands, but they're not quite the Tokyo Ska.
Tokyo Ska Paradise Orchestra, they're different because, like, you see them on commercials, you know, they do drink commercials, and they're just, I don't know how to explain them, but, you know, they're not like a ska scene. They're just up there, you know, regular major artists, you know, that are playing ska. You know, you turn on the TV and there's ska playing in Japan. You know, there's a beer commercial with ska, stuff like that. You know, but that's usually Tokyo Ska Paradise Orchestra. Whereas, you know, bands like Scaffold King and you know, some of the ska punk guys, they're more underground.
Yeah. Cool. And so what are some of these more like underground shows like say like at a bar that maybe 200 people, like are people like totally dressed up in the pork pie hats? Are they dancing their asses off? Are they just sort of looking cool? Like what is if you actually go to the show, what are you going to see?
Oh man, a ska punk show in Japan, usually, you know, you don't really see many pork pie hats. The ska punk show in particular, I'm talking about, people have like these little towels. They're usually sold at, you know, different bands that they like. The bands sell these towels and they put it around their neck. People are dressed in white t-shirts usually of the band they love. Shorts. They're wearing shorts and, you know, they're moshing, sweating, skanking, Yeah, the people are going crazy. You know, a general, you know, 200 capacity show packed is really sweaty, dancing, moshing. Yeah, it's like that. Whereas more traditional ska, there's a traditional ska scene here as well. People are wearing pork pie hats, and there are skinheads, there are rude boys here in Japan as well. And yeah, but the scene is a little smaller, so it's more kind of cliquey, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, good people there too.
Cool. Well, let's play some more of this. Let's play some more of these bands right now.
All right, let's do it.
Let's rock it.
I'm
Okay, we're back. Really great hearing all these stories from you. Anything you've done this week that's pretty fun and awesome, and you can tell us what's going on in Japan?
Oh, yeah. Just this morning, actually, I came back from a ska show that I put on. It was a ska DJ event, so no bands. It was just DJing, and they do a lot of that here. And a venue, it was a bar. And they let us, you know, use the bar for free. People come in for free. They buy drinks. The bar makes money. And I called it Skanctuary, as in, you know, ska sanctuary, hoping, you know, people will come and gather and listen to ska.
I can't believe I've never heard that before. That's great.
Yeah, me neither. Isn't that good?
That is good. I've heard every kind of ska pun ever.
Right.
Oh, my God. Someone's got to cover the Cults. She sells Skanctuary. Oh, my God. That's so awesome. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry to interrupt there.
All right. So I was trying to create a sanctuary, you know, at this venue, and people started coming at 8 o'clock, and there was, you know, fists were up in the air at 9. People stayed until.
So wait, is this you're DJing? You're playing like local bands or like old stuff or combination?
Combination. We had about 7 or 8 DJs, all from. Oh, wow. All from ska bands, you know, people, a guy from a band called Skalheads and a guy from Shakalabis and from Dallas, you know, all these people from the scene, I invited those guys to DJ. And you know, they played the bands that they grew up to, and then some of the newer bands, foreign bands, Japanese bands, you know, we mix it all up. And people were reacting really well to the foreign bands as well as, you know, a Japanese classic. And people were drinking and, you know, people were dancing and... I was surprised because everybody was there until 4 a.m.
Wow. Awesome.
The energy stayed the whole time. So, you know, people are really, I guess there's a demand for Japan and demand for ska in Japan. And people, they're still coming and enjoying themselves at the ska shows.
That's so great.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, interesting.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for calling in. And I've learned so much. And I really got to check out more of these bands that you've mentioned, and because I've been slacking a bit on digging for some international stuff. So this is great. Awesome.
Oh yeah, Japanese ska. Listen to that. There's gonna be some newer bands coming up, and Punk Ska Unity. You know, check that out as well. There's a lot of Japanese ska bands as well as Mike Park and Angela Moore in the song. It's a charity.
Are they
song.
In the video as well?
What's that?
Are they in the video as well?
Yeah, they're in the video.
Cool.
We did everything by photography. So, you know, they took photos.
Awesome.
And sent
That's
it
so
in.
That's
yeah.
so cool. Awesome. And the website, one more time, for people that want to download and donate.
Yes, it's Punk Ska Unity, all one word, punkskyunity.com/English. It's all there.
Fantastic.
Cool.
I'll come visit you soon. Show me
all
where
right.
to party.
Yeah. Come to Japan. I'll show you around all the clubs and, you know, the ska scene here. Thank you so much, Scott.
Thanks, man. That's awesome. Ciao.
All right. Bye-bye.
don't be afraid of me. Yeah, I only want to sing with you. And we have our body to dance, you know? So follow me. Dum, da, da, dum, 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 da, da, dum.
Little live Ska Para, a.k.a. Tokyo Ska Paradise Orchestra. Thanks a lot to Ray, Maestro Giovanni. It was great talking about the Punk Ska Unity project. We'll put the website for that up on the podcast page. Go to citr.ca to listen to the podcast later on, or musicaloccupation.com, and the podcast will be up there as well. Yeah, some great tunes in there. We did play the Orska, which we were talking about earlier, Hana no Ska Dance, and Skaful King, Lunch in the Jail. And earlier in the show, we also played Ray Maestro Giovanni's track, Skanctuary. Just about out of time here. Marie's is coming up with Synchronicity at noon, and Chris Riffick is on at 1 o'clock with Parts Unknown. So stay tuned, and don't forget, this weekend there's a crazy amount of shows. Friday and Saturday there's the Sublime tribute shows. Friday night at the Shark Club, three great bands, Giraffe Aftermath. I do have some tickets to give away for that at 604-822-2487. If I don't give them away, I'll put something on the podcast there for some people listening after, so give it a try. Also on Saturday, another in Strathcona at the Ukrainian Hall, another Sublime tribute there, all ages for that one. And on Saturday night, the Aggro Band plays on. The Aggrolites are playing at Fortune Sound Club this Saturday. I've also got one pair of tickets to give away for that, 604-822-2487. And if again, if no one gets them right now, I'll do some sort of podcast giveaway as well. And right now, this is Giraffe Aftermath doing a Sublime track, doing time. I hope. Here we go.
I love her so bad, she treats me like shit. Oh, locked down like a penitentiary. Yeah, she spreads her loving all over. So when she gets home, there's none left for me. To tell you that she's evil. Evil. I've come to tell you that she's evil. Evil. I've come to tell you that she's evil. Evil. I've come to tell you that she's evil. I love her so bad, but she treats me like shit. On lockdown like a penitentiary. Yeah, she spreads her loving all over. So when she gets home, there's none left for me. Evil, I've come to tell you that she's evil. To tell you that she's evil. Evil. I've come to tell you that she's evil. Evil.
tell you that she's evil. She's evil. Evil. I've come to tell you that she's evil. Evil. I've come to tell you that she's evil. Evil. I've come to tell you that she's evil. Relationship.